Hello, my name is Rhys Price-Robertson and you're listening to a podcast from the Child, Family, Community Australia Information Exchange. This podcast has been released with and is intended to accompany the CFCA paper titled The Good Practice Guide to Child Aware Approaches, Keeping Children Safe and Well, which was authored by Catherine Hunter and myself. In this podcast, I'll give a brief background on the Child Aware Approaches Initiative. I'll go through the methodology we use to produce our report. I'll go through the main philosophies that underpin child aware approaches, and I'll outline the 10 practice principles that we developed from these philosophies. It would be helpful to have a copy of the report to look at while you listen to this podcast. In terms of background, child aware approaches started in 2012 when the federal government announced a $5.7 million grant round as part of the second action plan of the National Framework for Protecting Australia's Children. The primary aim of this grant round was to promote better understanding of the relationship between child maltreatment and parental risk factors, such as family violence, mental illness, and substance abuse. And, of course, to use this understanding to promote better practice, better policies, and ultimately better outcomes for kids and families. 43 organisations received funding, and a lot of them presented at the first conference a year ago, which in many ways was like a showcase of how organisations had used the funding they received. This was a very successful conference. Consequently, excitement's been building around this initiative, and so now a number of different things are happening under the Child Aware Approaches banner. The second national conference was held in Melbourne in March 2014. There's a project looking at how child aware approaches can be applied at the community level, and another project looking at how it can be most relevant at the organisational level. And, of course, there's the report that the Department of Social Services, which was then known as the Department of Families, Housing, Community Service and Indigenous Affairs, commissioned the Australian Institute of Family Studies to produce. This report is really meant to provide the intellectual underpinning for the other aspects of the Child Aware Approaches initiative. It was clear from the first conference that although all of the organisations and practitioners involved had the same goal of highlighting children's needs and safety in their practice, people were using a diversity of approaches and concepts and practice models. For example, some people used the language of child and family sensitive, others spoke about children's rights, or interagency collaboration, or cultural competence, and so on. There was so much going on at the first conference that it kind of felt like it was bursting at the seams. So ultimately, the purpose of the paper we have produced was to try to distill a lot of that diversity, to capture the important points in a pithy and coherent way, and in a way that lent itself to being applied in practice. So how did we go about doing this? What was our methodology? We started by doing a thematic analysis of both the presentations from last year's conference and the project reports provided to FACSIA by the 43 organisations that received funding in the grant round. We went through these documents and asked, what words are people using? What topics are they talking about? What frameworks are guiding their practice? And we made a big list of all these topics. And when we went to see how they grouped together, we found that most of them fit into five broad categories. In our report, these five categories became the Child Aware Approaches philosophies, which I'll outline in a minute. We then immersed ourselves in the existing literature on each of the main categories and tried to find work that took what are sometimes pretty abstract notions and applied them in practice. So one of the main topics was about being child-centred or child-inclusive, and we found some great work that explicated what child-centeredness means in concrete terms and in specific sectors or situations. And we use literature like this to inform the creation of our 10 practice principles. Again, I'll outline these in a minute. Also peppered throughout our report are 17 case studies, which were sourced from last year's conference and from the project reports. We tried to ensure a diverse spread of case studies, and we tried to use them to illustrate each of the different components of child aware approaches. And finally, this whole process occurred in consultation with a reference group, comprised of a number of distinguished professionals from the human service sector. So while in a lot of these other steps we used an inductive or bottom-up approach and were trying to capture what was going on in the sector, the reference group provided us with a top-down element, which was necessary because if this initiative is going to be meaningful in the long term, then there needs to be a sense that it's guiding the sector and not simply compiling or distilling existing trends. we tried to strike a good balance between these bottom-up and top-down elements. Okay, so what was the upshot of this whole process? What does our report actually say? We came up with a very broad definition. Child aware approaches are community-led, innovative, and practical grassroots actions to keep children safe and well. This broad definition is narrowed down by looking at the five philosophies that underpin the whole initiative, which I'll go through in order. Number one, child aware approaches are family sensitive. For instance, suppose you're working with an adult client in a mental health or alcohol and other drug service. Are you aware of their family situation? Is that awareness informing the way you work with them? Number two, child aware approaches are child inclusive. For example, if your client has kids, what are you doing to ensure that consideration of these children and consideration of their needs informs your practice? Number three, child aware approaches are strengths based. This means they're not just focused on deficits, but on building strength and resilience. Number four, child aware approaches are collaborative. They're about trying to break down barriers between adult focused services, family services, and child protection. And finally, number five, child aware approaches are culturally competent. Sitting under each of these five philosophies are one or more of the practice principles that we developed. These practice principles are meant to bring the five philosophies down to earth a little and start to show what it actually means to be family sensitive or child inclusive and so on. So I'll quickly run through these now. Under family sensitive, we have two principles. Principle one is identify and respond to the needs of adults who are parents. In the most basic sense, this could just be about asking an adult client, are you a parent? How have your problems been affecting your kids? Next, we have principle two, acknowledge and build on family strengths while responding to family stresses and risk factors for child abuse and neglect. This one's about trying to develop an understanding of the resources that families have, as well as the risks that children or other family members may be subject to. We then have a number of principles sitting under the philosophy of child inclusive. Principle three says, understand and apply knowledge of children's needs at each stage of their physical, cognitive, emotional, and social development. There are all kinds of ways this might happen, including training of staff in child development or basing intake and assessment procedures around the latest evidence from developmental psychology. Principle four encourages practitioners to recognize and be sensitive to each child's unique perspective and experience. Have they experienced trauma, for example? How is this affecting the way they see the world or the way they behave? Principle five says, include children as active participants in decisions that affect them. And here we start getting into the territory of children's rights and children's voices. Again, there are a number of ways that children can be brought into practice, even if the practice is primarily aimed at adult clients. Principle six says, promote child-safe environments. In other words, this means ensuring that the spaces that your organization creates and works in make children feel safe and make parents feel that their children are welcome. Sitting under the philosophy of strengths-based, we have two principles. Principle seven is enable parents by promoting their parenting role as a motivator for positive change. This principle acknowledges that children can be a powerful, galvanizing force in people's lives, giving them a sense of hope and meaning and a reason to keep trying. Principle eight says, build children's resilience by addressing their vulnerabilities and promoting effective, consistent caregiving. This is about seeing parenting and work with adults as one of the key avenues through which children's resilience can be promoted. Then we have principle nine, which says, develop and maintain connections between adult-focused services and child and family-focused services. I'm sure we've all heard a lot about the importance of interagency collaboration over the last few years. And finally, Principle 10, understand cultural influences on family and parenting practices and respond in a culturally sensitive way. Obviously, there are many elements to this, and a lot of great work's been done around developing cultural competence, and we provide references and links to some of this work in our report. So that's a kind of whirlwind tour of our report. If you've not already accessed a copy of the report, then please do so. And if you have questions or feedback, then please feel free to contact us via the CFCA Information Exchange website, www.aifs.gov.au/CFCA. Thanks for listening.